Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon here with Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Thankful to be with you on this Friday session. Thankful that you've tuned in, and hopefully this broadcast will be a blessing to you as we discuss issues relevant to the Christian faith in our day, as the Word of God has continued to be living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, today we thought we would take up the subject of atheism. And the reason we do that is simply because of the great attacks that are happening. I mean, I was just in Barnes & Noble the other day, and on the bookshelf seems to be a blatant attack of atheism on Christianity, a very vicious attack as of recent times that I have really not seen in the years I've been in ministry and all my years as a Christian. And here it is before us. And the challenge is that we said this a few weeks back, we're living in one of the most doctrinally ignorant ages that we've ever lived in. And that being the case, we're finding it increasingly difficult to interact with these atheists who are presenting attacks that are stronger than ever against the existence of God, against Christianity, everything we hold and profess dear to us as Christians. Wes, what's your take on this rise of atheism?
That's a really good question, Chris, and you know, I've been doing some reflecting on that. And you know, at first glance, I think about the rise of postmodernism and whether postmodernism has had any role to play in that. But you know, as we look at these authors who are writing these atheist diatribes, they're not postmodernists. They're in the finest tradition of atheism. They're the heirs of people like Bertrand Russell. And so on. They're very rigorously logical and rigorously rational. And so we can't really see this rise of atheism as an outgrowing of postmodern thought. Not from the atheist side anyway. Perhaps it is on the other side. And I think that's the direction that we have to look in. We have to look in what is there in North American Christianity which has provoked this sort of reaction. And I think part of it is that the Christianity which we see around us is by and large emasculated. It's not vigorous. It doesn't have any rigor as far as doctrine goes. It's all built on experience and then a certain kind of experience, which is I've got joy, 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 joy. And it's just all about that. And we don't have any foundation aside from that to be able to, you know, stand our ground when it comes to people asking us hard questions about the Christian faith.
Well, I think that is just key. In the postmodern Christian culture in which we live, we approach the Bible as, what does this mean to you, Wes? And we have ripped off any form of objective truth.
Right.
Everything has become subjective.
And that's postmodern.
It is postmodern. Everything has become dependent upon how I interpret it personally with my own private interpretation. And the point is this mixed with this very experiential form of Christianity, we have not provided answers to people in the core areas that we have to. And you look at these attacks of atheism today, where do they always hit? Suffering, evil.
Right.
Well, how's Joel Osteen answering that?
Mm-hmm.
He's not. You ask him about, well, if God is for your best life now, what happens when a Christian gets cancer? There's no answer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you explain that? Well, we are a prime attack now. We're opened up for a great attack to level us.
It's like we have a sign on our head saying, atheists, attack me.
Right.
It's just we're inviting it.
We're inviting it.
With the emasculated form of Christianity that we have adopted.
I saw the other day in Barnes & Noble a book, and the title was something like this, The One Problem the Bible Cannot Answer, Suffering.
Right.
And then you see all these books by Sam Harris and these others, Letters to a Christian Nation, that are really great attacks upon the Christian faith. We have got to be able to answer these things and provide them a core answer, at least from Scripture, as to what our faith is. And you know, one of the things I think we need to say in this whole discussion is God never sets out to prove his existence from Scripture to us.
Oh, exactly. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God.
Right. The fool in his heart, Psalm 14, says there is no God.
Yeah.
So we're always starting with this premise. So when they attack us with these angles, our answer is always that we show them what our belief is, what our hope is in life and in death, and that takes us right to the cross, where we see the culmination of suffering and yet conquering of death and evil.
Well, I think now we're getting into defending ourselves against right. these attacks of atheism. And I think one thing that we could say in response would be that if the Bible is true, this is exactly the kind of world that we would expect to see. If the Bible is true, if Adam really fell into sin, we would expect to see suffering and we would expect to see evil in the world. But then the Bible also holds out hope for a world that has suffering and a world that encounters evil.
Well, Wes, these are interesting thoughts, and I think one of the things that we should maybe provide here is an answer to some of these attacks. And we came across a series of quotes here that would be good to rehearse over the air here. I think of this one by G.K. Chesterton. If there were no God, there would be no atheists. That's a pretty clever one. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "A God who let us prove his existence would be an idol."
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good one. Why don't you interact with this one a bit, Wes? It amazes me to find an intelligent person who fights against something which he does not at all believe exists. That's Gandhi. Mohandas Gandhi. Let me say that again. It amazes me to find an intelligent person who fights against something which he does not at all believe exists.
Yeah.
How do the atheists answer that?
Well, it's amazing that they put so much effort into writing these books, into promoting their views, and all for something that does not exist. You have to wonder why they put all this effort into it. Now, perhaps they figure that by doing this, they're going to better the human race, that they're going to contribute to the evolution of mankind in some way. They figure that the development of mankind is from many gods to one God to no God, that this is all part of the process of natural selection or evolution, what have you. But, fighting against something which you do not at all believe exists, that makes me think of what we find in Romans 1 about belief and unbelief. Maybe I'll just read what it says there in Romans 1, starting at verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now, that's an interesting phrase, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That involves effort. That involves hard work to suppress something, to put it down. Where do they put it down? They put it down inside their hearts. They suppress the truth. And what is that truth? Well, verse 19 tells us of Romans 1, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse."
Right.
"Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened."
I think that's a key point here, is this whole notion of suppression of the truth. I think in this context of Pilgrim's Progress, and here we're Christian and hopeful on the path, and here comes atheists walking the other way with his back toward the celestial city. Huh? And what did he do to them? He scoffed at them. He says, "Look, you're traveling this path. There's no city. There's no God. What are you doing?" And he scoffed them away. And their answer was, "The God of this age has blinded him so that he should not see the truth."
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you just read. Not only are they blinded, but now they take, and you can imagine a man with two hands pushing down the truth, doing all he can to reject it, walking straight away from the only path of life. Go back and read Pilgrim's Progress. It's an amazing, amazing scene there with the atheist.
And the thing that we have to understand is that atheism is not an intellectual problem. It's an ethical, moral problem.
Right.
It is something against the holy God. And that's why it says, so that they are without excuse. They know deep down in their hearts that there is a God. In fact, it even goes further, telling us that they know, it says in verse 32 of Romans 1, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. They know that there is going to be a judgment from God. They know that there is a God. They know that judgment is coming, but yet they suppress the truth and unrighteousness.
Ravi Zacharias said this, to sustain the belief that there is no God, atheism has to demonstrate infinite knowledge, which is tantamount to saying, I have infinite knowledge that there is no being in existence with infinite knowledge.
Well, that just goes to show that the truth of Psalm 14, Psalm 53, the fool says in his heart that there is no God.
Right.
That foolishness, when it boils down to it, is foolishness because, you know, they cannot have this kind of absolute certainty that, that God is not there, and they can't be certain really about anything.
Right. And I mean, we could rightly ask the question, since sinful man, little man, has taken it upon himself to discount the existence of God, the real question is, does God believe in atheists?
Yeah, exactly. And we know the answer from Romans 1.
That, right.
You know, they are without excuse. It's not that believers are without excuse. And actually, the word that's used there in the Greek is that they are without an apology. They are without a defense. They are without a rational, reasoned way of arguing. So, you know, even though Christopher Hitchens and all these fellows are very rigorously rationalistic in the way that they approach it, if we dissect it and we look at it a little bit closer, eventually we will see that, you know, in their rationalism, they cannot justify it.
Right.
They cannot stand
well, and you, if you're a Christian today, especially if you have children heading into the institution at the academic level, at the college level, they're going to run into professors who are teaching this. In fact, they give no ear. I mean, there's the intelligent design movement and all that that's going on, but they give no ear to that whatsoever. And so we're going to have to be very informed about what we believe and able to interact with this, about what we believe concerning our God and what the scriptures teach, a foundation upon which we have to stand, which is preached every week at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Yeah, we're at 52nd Avenue in Langley, near the Langley Airport, just to the east of the airport. You can check out our website, www.langleycanrc.org. You can also phone me, 604-220-7718.
Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful day. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace. With our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden, we come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.